This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. It's 7:48 a.m., Tuesday the 2nd of June, and we've been running a poll on the BFM Twitter account at BFM Radio asking should verified users and public figures be fact-checked by social media platforms. 118 votes so far, and 79% have said yes, public figures and verified users should be fact-checked. 6% said no, 5% said don't know, 10% said don't care.
I'm surprised by this outcome, actually.
That people voted no or don't know or don't care?
Like they want it to be fact-checked. I'm a little bit like, you know, I to me, it's like, how do you fact-check everybody?
I guess it's just the verified users. And
you mean like
figures,
like
right?
Presidents, yeah. Right?
Like presidents, you know, like political leaders.
Isn't it a sad state of affairs when of all people they need to be fact-checked?
I mean, you know, this is the world that we live in today. And it's not just, messaging platforms, social media, the media have been used for decades as avenues for political leaders to get their message across. And that message isn't necessarily the same.
But then when does it end, though?
That is the question. That is right. The question. So now the question is also a little bit of, if we take a look at our Malaysian political landscape, you can also apply that question. When's it going to end? Where is it going to end? Because sources in Pakatan Harapan told the Malaysian Insight that discussions are ongoing between Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad as well as Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim on how best for the coalition to retake federal power before the 15th general election. And it's likely to hinge on two main elements, the support of Sarawak MP and a new deal between the two leaders.
Now, it is learned that PH is approaching GPS, as getting all 18 MPs to switch sides will give the coalition the numbers to form a government. But of course, these are just source stories, right? Does this mean that Sarawak will once again play an important role in deciding which coalition will rule the country?
So for more on this, we have on the line with us Professor James Chin, Director of the Asia Institute Tasmania at the University of Tasmania, a commentator of Malaysian politics. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, James. Now, while GPS has pledged support for Perikatan Nasional, it has also previously stressed that it's not part of the coalition. Does this mean that Pakatan Harapan has a chance at convincing the Sarawak ruling government to support their attempt to retake Putrajaya?
Good morning. Well, I think it's quite obvious that in Malaysian politics, nothing is ever ruled out. Anything is possible. But at the present moment, I think it's highly unlikely that GPS will suddenly change its support from Muhyiddin to Mahathir or Anwar. I think the thinking in Kuching is that we need to allow the new government to settle down and see how things are going before we revisit the issue of which side to support. The other important point, I think, is that the GPS in Sarawak has had a very bad experience with Pakatan Harapan when they were in the federal government. So, for example, if you see some of the statements coming from the PH leaders, they've made it very clear that they were very unhappy with DAP in particular, and they're not willing to work with PH, partly because they do not want to work with DAP. So the bottom line is, at the present moment, it's highly unlikely that GPS will switch its support from Muhyiddin to Mahathir Anwar.
And just moving on to this PSB, right? How significant is it, given that Baru Bien and Si Chi Hao have chosen to join that party after leaving PKR?
I think the starting point for understanding what they're doing is the fact that we have a Sarawak state election that's coming up very soon. So their options were very, very limited. Obviously, if they had gone and set up their own party, it means there won't be enough time for the new party to get it up and running for the coming state election. So they really had no choice but to look around for an existing opposition political party. Pakatan Harapan's door is basically closed to them, so they could only look around for other Sarawak-based parties. And in this case, they chose PSB, because PSB for the last 6 months has been very active on the ground. But having said that, I think the other point is that a lot of people are actually quite disappointed with the actions of Baru Bien and Si Chi Hao, especially when they sort of switched the support from Pakatan Harapan. Initially, at least for Baru Bien, he went over asking Ali to the other side. I think a lot of people are very surprised. Then he switched back again So I think there's some credibility issues. But the wider issue really is that a lot of people in Sarawak are highly suspicious of PSB, because PSB, as many of your listeners will know, is actually started by an ex-senior Sarawak state minister who was in SUPP for a very long time, and he was Sarawak's second finance minister. So there are lots of suspicion, and I think for Baru Bian and Si Chi Hao to enter the party, I think there will be some questions asked about the logic of entering a party that is essentially a breakaway faction of the SUPP.
Does that suspicion extend to GPS's support of Perikatan Nasional, considering PASA's presence in the PN coalition and given the Sarawak state's historical rejection of the party?
Yeah, so that is basically one of the reasons why, as I mentioned earlier, GPS do not really want to get themselves too heavily involved with PN. GPS essentially stands for Sarawak First or Strong State Nationalism. So they're only willing to support Muhyiddin as long as Muhyiddin delivers on the sort of issues that Sarawak is interested in. So it's highly unlikely they will join PN. In terms of PAS is not really a big issue in terms of Sarawak politics. In fact, if you look at the past elections, a lot of PAS candidates have actually lost a deposit. So PAS is a feature in peninsula politics, but they're really not a feature in Sarawak politics. In terms of whether the Sarawak voters are unhappy that GPS is supporting a coalition where PAS is a key member, I'm not sure that is a factor, because when it comes to state elections in Sarawak, many of the issues are highly localized. So even if PAS were to stand in Sarawak, it's very likely that they will lose their deposits again. So most of the battles in Sarawak at the state election level will be dealt with Sarawak-based issues rather than national issues like whether PAS is part of the federal government.
And James, what are the main concessions that GPS will want from either PH or PN if these purported discussions are indeed taking place?
Yes, I think it's all very confusing. They must stop using anything starting with P, because we have too many P's around. So so what do they want? I think basically people, not only in Sarawak, but also in Sabah, what they want is basically maximum autonomy. They just want to be left alone. They do not want the so-called export of our Malayan politics to Sabah and Sarawak. And what I meant is that the overemphasis on race and religion, they don't like this. Unfortunately, this sort of politics is slowly being exported to Sabah and Sarawak. So part of the reason why they're asking for maximum autonomy is that they want to try a different type of politics with less racial and religious stuff. So essentially, it comes back to this issue of maximum autonomy from the Federation. Sabah and Sarawak are part of the Federation, but domestic politics or state politics in those two states will basically be very localized and will be very different from Peninsula Malaysia politics.
So what can we expect from Sarawak over the next few months, considering that they do have state elections coming up?
Well, what can you expect? What you can expect is that the GPS will announce that basically the federal government has made a lot of concessions. I mean, that is one of the price that Muhyiddin will have to pay for GPS support. There'll be more money going into Sarawak. And recently you saw that there was a sort of a quasi settlement between Petronas and Sarawak government, where Petronas promised to pay about $2 billion. And also, I think the whole state will basically be on election mode. I think GPS is in a very good position now. All the action will mostly be in the opposition area, because the opposition have not even sat down to discuss the distribution of seats. This is always a highly sensitive issue in Sarawak. And now you've got new players on the scene. But what is really interesting, and I'm sure many of your listeners in Peninsula Malaysia may not be aware of it, there were at least three or four political parties in Sarawak who are planning to stand in the upcoming Sarawak state election. And what is incredible is that they're openly advocating independence for Sarawak from the Malaysian Federation. So we can expect some fireworks when it comes to this issue of succession.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, James. That was Professor James Chin, Director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania, with some very interesting insights, particularly when it comes to the autonomy of Sarawak State. Because, you know, as he was saying, one of the main, the key issues that he sees in the discussions, if these purported discussions are taking place between GPS and Perikatan Nasional or Pakatan Harapan, is the state's autonomy. And now it looks like that is really coming to the fore in the run-up to the state elections as well.
Yeah, surprisingly, there might be some candidates advocating independence. Wow, this is something different. We have not heard, actually. It would be interesting to see how many candidates are actually on that, going to be thumping that
drum, yeah.
Yeah, that drum, right?
Yeah, so this is going to be very, very fascinating to watch indeed as we head into the Sarawak state elections, as well as how it's going to affect the wider Malaysian political system. But right now we have the 8 o'clock news bulletin for you, followed by The Breakfast Grill, where Noel Lim speaks with Dr. Mario Hardy, CEO of the Pacific Asia Travel Association, about how COVID-19 is reshaping the travel and tourism industry and how perhaps it might recover. So be sure to stay tuned for that after the 8 o'clock news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.